Good morning. It is good to be together inside where it's warm and dry. And if you enjoy winter, you're excited this morning. One of our children has already been out twice running around in the snow, so I trust you enjoy the different seasons. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Father, we come to you this morning. Lord, we're grateful for a place to be inside. Lord, we're grateful that we can be together to worship in your house. Lord, I pray that you would fill our hearts. Lord, I pray that as we worship, that we would honor and glorify you in all that we do. Lord, I pray for this service, that you would bless it. Lord, be with those in Elkhart. Pray for the church up there. Be with Reuben as he brings a word to them. Lord, I pray that you would speak through him and that their time together would point them and visitors to you. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen. Growing up, one of our families, something that we would frequently do would be travel as a family. And typically we would have a destination in mind, but our family seldom stayed at hotels. And so my father would typically pick out either family or friends or somebody that we wanted to learn to know as a friend to stay at. And then he would make those arrangements. He would call ahead and say, hey, we're going to be in your area. Would it be all right if we would visit? And I remember back one summer we were headed to the East Coast, and so we were going to be out on the ocean. But one of the people that my father wanted to visit was a minister who had had meetings at our church. And my father had just appreciated him and who he was, and he said, you know what, we want to visit Donnie's church when we're in Virginia. And I was probably 12, 13, and I don't know how you are, but at that age, I wasn't real excited about visiting a church where you didn't know anyone, and I for sure didn't know this family. I knew him, but I didn't know his children, but I knew he had some children close to my age. And so we attended their church for Sunday morning, and Donnie, of course, had said, well, if you're going to be in the area, we want you to come for lunch. And so we went for lunch. And of course, at church, you know, you're a little hesitant because you don't know anyone. But as we went to their house for lunch, I remember his boys saying, come, let's go upstairs, let's change. And they took me upstairs to their room, and immediately a friendship was created just because of their openness. And so they got out, they figured out that I liked hunting, they pulled out the Cabela's catalogs, and they were showing me, you know, this and this, and what they wanted, we had never connected before, but there was a warmth that I felt from them immediately. And later on, I went to Bible school, and I met those boys, and there was just, even to this day, I don't really know them personally, but when I was at Bible school, I met them, we had some interaction. Their family now is in lawn care. I don't think they were back then. So now I'm at the Louisville Lawn Show, and I run into Donnie and his sons. And Donnie says, Kendall, how's your father? How are your parents? And there's just a warmth, a connection. What is it that causes that? What is it that draws people to you, or that you're drawn? Why are you drawn to other people? And you sense a warmth in them. Several years later, I was probably, I think about 18, Daryl Miller and I struck out on a wild hog hunt to Alabama, of all things. And it was just the two of us, and we didn't know anybody in Alabama except for a game warden that we had talked to on the phone and one landowner, and we had high hopes of having a good time hunting wild hogs in Alabama. Well, I remember we were at a gas station in Alabama, and a lady pulled up and had a head covering on. And Daryl, if you know Daryl, is pretty uninhibited. He jumped out. He said, hey, he said, are there Mennonites in the area? He said, you know, we're here hunting for the week. And he's like, we'd like to have a church to go to Sunday. Is there a church around here? And so the lady gave us an address. I forget a phone number. I mean, this is before the days of cell phone, right? So we figured out where this church was. And Sunday morning, we attended this church. And I don't really remember a lot about the church service, but I do remember that there was one boy in particular, a young man, that was about our age, that just communicated to us. We sat with him during Sunday school. Afterwards, he said, well, what are you doing for lunch? Well, we were eating canned soup back at camp, you know. And so he invited us to his place, and we sat there for a Sunday dinner. Afterwards, they took us out. They showed us their catfish ponds, which was pretty intriguing for an Indiana boy. And we spent the afternoon there with them. And then he said, what are you guys doing this week, like evenings? And we said, well, you know, we hunt till dark. And he said, well, why don't we meet for supper? He said, would you like to taste catfish? He said, there's a good catfish restaurant in the area. He said, I'll meet you there. And so we communicated, you know, by payphone. We'd call them. And anyhow, we got this arranged. And he brought one of his friends. And we met for supper. Had no connections, but we just had a good evening. Because they reached out to us. And they were hospitable to us. Last winter, my wife and I went on an anniversary trip to Savannah, Georgia, where we knew no one. And Sunday morning, we were going to be in the area, and so I went online and started looking for churches. And I said, you know, we're in the South, right? So we want some Southern hospitality. So what do you look for? I looked for a Southern Baptist church. I thought we could be pretty at home here, right? And so we found a Southern Baptist church, and it looked pretty Southern. It had big white pillars, and it was, you know, it was the real deal. And we attended that church. And I remember we came in after Sunday school, and we walked in the foyer, and there were some people milling around there, and everybody kind of were busy doing other things. And so we wandered around for a while, and finally, I think somebody maybe told us, well, the service will be starting soon. We can come in and sat down. So we went in and sat down. And I'll admit, we probably stuck out, right? We were the visitors. We looked different, the way we were dressed, the way my wife was dressed. And so we were the oddballs in this situation. And there were a few people that came up and talked to us. And one of the younger men came up and talked to us. And right away, he asked us where we're from, you know, and communicated a little bit. And then he said, okay, he said, you know, I have to go. We're finishing preparing for the service. So I thought, okay, this is the pastor. You know, you expect the pastor to at least come say welcome, right? But there are very few people who went out of their way to come up and welcome us. And it would have felt good. I expected some Southern hospitality, at least somebody saying, where are you from? What brings you to the area? And I will admit, there were one, maybe two, and, you know, then pretty soon word got out that these people are from Indiana, and a lady would come up and say, well, I heard you're from Indiana. I was from Fort Wayne or wherever. So we made a few connections. But overall, people avoided our eyes and were fairly busy throughout the morning, whether it was after worship or whatever. The difference in that versus my first two stories was that it seemed like it wasn't important. We weren't important to them. There was a disconnection. The pastor came up and said hi, but like I said, I expected him to, right? Because that's his job. I don't know if he wanted to come say hi or not, but do we reach out to other people? How do people feel when they visit Sandy Ridge, when they visit our church? Stand with me, and I want to read together the text for today. You all stand up. Romans, preaching out of Romans chapter 12 again, and we're going to read three verses 10 through 13, and I like to especially focus on the last verse 13. So let's read together. Distributing to the necessity of the saints, given to hospitality. I want to break that verse down into the two separate parts of it, speaking of different things. The first one is distributing to the necessity of the saints. And I'm going to just give you some definition of these three key words. First of all is, who's he talking to? And so he's talking, it says saints, distributing to the necessity of the saints. Saints, if you look at the definition, is somebody who's holy or religious. Well, that probably describes us as church people, hopefully, right? And so he's speaking to us as brotherhood, as church people, as people who know Christ, people who are holy, referring to the saints. And then he says, distributing. The Greek word for that is koinonia, to share with others, to communicate, to distribute, to be partaker. And so not only giving, but partaking with someone, distributing to the necessity. What is the necessity? Or another word would be maybe a more simplistic word is the need, right? So distributing or giving to the need of our brothers and sisters. So the people around us, the people that we know, the people that we go to church with, the people in the neighboring congregations, the saints around us. 1 Peter 4, verse 10 says, as every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same one to another, as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. Minister the same one to another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. You see, it's because of God's grace to me. It's because of who I was, the fact that I was lost, the fact that Christ didn't have to. God reached out in his grace, offered his son for my sins, for me. And it's because I accepted that, that now I have even something to offer other people. It's because of that grace that God gave me that I now have something to give to those around me. I now have something to give to my brothers, to my sisters. It's only because of God's grace and him reaching down. And that should cause us to want to give to others, to want to serve others around us. Bless others because God has blessed you. There's an interesting story in Matthew 25. In this chapter, Jesus gives several parables. One is about the 10 lepers, and then the other one is about the different talents. And then he comes to a certain part, and he says, even when the Son of Man comes down from heaven, and he said he takes the people, and he begins to separate them, and he says he takes the goats, and he puts them on the left hand, and he takes the sheep, and he puts them on the right hand. And so imagine with me Jesus coming down, and he starts dividing people, right? And hopefully he puts us all on his right-hand side as sheep or as saved. And it says he begins to judge them. And one of the things he says to the people on his right hand, he says, come, blessed are my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you. And immediately these people have a question on their face. Us? We inherit the kingdom? And then he says, yes, he said, you inherit the kingdom because he says, you've reached out to me. He said, you've served me. You've given me water. You've given me food. He said, you were sick. I was sick. And you came and visited me. And immediately I can see these people saying, what? We didn't do that to you. We never did this. And yet Jesus said, yes, you did. You didn't do it directly to me, but you reached out to the people who were around you. At work, you reached out to that person who was hurting. At school, you reached out to that fellow student who was hurting. You served them. You saw someone who needed food. You saw someone who visited in church and needed a place to go for lunch, and you invited them over for lunch. And these people are saying, we don't even remember that. I don't even remember doing that. And Jesus says, the same way that you did it to them is same as if you would have done it to me. By serving them, you served me. And I honestly don't think these people could recall doing it. Because you see, it was a way of life for them. It was not something that they put on that Sunday morning that they went to church and said, well, we should have visitors over this morning. It was a way of life. When opportunity presented itself, they were looking for it. They were looking for ways to reach out to people. They were looking for someone who was hurting. They were looking for somebody with a tear. They were looking for someone with a downcast face. And they jumped on that opportunity and said, "What's going on in your life?" They didn't think about it because that's who they were. That's the life they lived. That's what flowed out of them naturally. That's who they were without even trying, without even putting a front on. Are we those type of people? Are we looking for opportunities when we come to church? You see, those people were the type that when they came to church, they were looking around to see who was hurting. They were looking around to see, oh, so-and-so's wife isn't here. I wonder if she's sick. Or you see, when they came to youth night, they were the ones who were looking for the visitors or maybe looking for the ones that weren't real excited about playing volleyball that night. And they were the ones who made effort to go and talk to that person and say, "Well, you seem kind of down tonight. Is there something the matter?" You see, they were the people who came to the sewing. And they sat around the quilts. And they were the ones that brought encouragement. They were the ones talking about everybody else in church that they appreciate. They were the ones building other people up. They didn't even think of it. That's who they were. It just flowed out. It just flowed out. Distribute to the saints. If you're taking notes, I have a couple things for you to write down. These are just common suggestions, and these are not everything, okay? It's not all inclusive, but just several things that I thought of that may help us. Number one, pursue relationships with those around you. Pursue relationships. Be the first one to make a move on a relationship. It always takes someone to move forward in a relationship and say, "Hey, I would like to learn to know you." You be that person. You be the one to look around you here at church and say, "Hey, brother, come over. Let's go for coffee." Don't wait on people to ask you, okay? Be the first one to initiate relationship. The second one, know others well enough to know their needs. You see, if we don't know one another very well, I don't even notice when you're having a bad day. Now, my wife and I, we live together, right? So I can tell immediately when something's going on because I know her. I know she either had a tough day or she's tired or there's, you know, something went on with her children, whatever it may be. Do I know my brother beside me good enough to know that something is amiss? Know one another well enough to know what's going on in their lives. Number three, if you can't meet the need, initiate those who can. So we're a church and we have a lot of things, different programs set up, right? So you may see a need and say, there's a need here in the community, or maybe there's a need directly in church, but maybe I don't have the financial means to meet that. Maybe I can't make meals for the next week. But there are things set up here in church that we can work together and help one another, right? So we have food committee. We have a special fund to help out people in the community or in church that are in need. So if you can't meet that need, don't give up on it, but go tap into one of those people, whoever it may be, or speak with one of the ministers, and let's work together on it as a group, okay? So that's still taking the initiative to move forward and to help other people. So reach out to those who can help if you're not able to fulfill it yourself. The fourth one is, be served with a humble, grateful heart. And so this is the other side now. So at times, people serve us. And sometimes it's embarrassing. And sometimes I think, well, you wouldn't have to do that for me, right? And some of you have served me and my family in ways that, you know, I don't know what to say. But can we just humbly say, well, thank you. That is such a blessing. I didn't expect you to do that. And be grateful. And allow the other person to bless you. It feels good when you serve someone and you sense a thankfulness and a humility. And it's just a blessing to serve when somebody has that attitude. So when you're on that side, accept it with a humble, grateful heart. Galatians 6:10 says, as we have therefore opportunity, to let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. Do good unto all men, but especially to them who are the household of faith, especially to the saints, especially to the brother beside you. Now, the second part of that verse from our text, distributing to the necessity of the saints, given to hospitality, looking for ways to serve. Again, I'd like to look at the definition of given to hospitality. What do those words really mean? Given in the Greek has different meanings. It means to pursue, to follow, to press forward, to look for. And so it's proactive. It's not waiting on something to happen and then I react to it, right? And so there's a need here, and once it hits me right in the face, and okay, now I will help you. No, it's looking. It's actively looking. Okay, who wasn't in church this morning? Are your children sick? Can we help you? And so it's being proactive, okay? It's looking for ways to serve. Given to hospitality. What is hospitality? The definition of hospitality is entertaining strangers. And so not just the church people now, right? Not just the saints, but entertaining strangers, entertaining people who have needs. The word hospitality, the root word, is hospital. What is a hospital for? People who are sick. People who have a need. We're supposed to be, as Christians, the hospital for those who have need. And so people should be drawn to us, right? When you have something wrong with you and you don't know how to fix it, you drive to the hospital. I know I can get care there, right? And so I go there to get help. Do people see us as the hospital? Do people say, I don't know what to do. I'm up against something, but I know that person. That person can help me. Are they drawn to us like that? Are non-Christians drawn to us at Sandy Ridge? What about our brothers beside us? Is that where their mind turns to right away when they're facing a hard time? You know what? There's somebody at church that I know I can go talk to, and I'm going to get some encouragement. A hospital is a place that sick people go to. And I understand we often hear the term that the church is supposed to be the hospital. And I believe that. But here's the thing. If you've stayed in a hospital very long, right at first when you get there, you're relieved because you're going to get help, right? But after about the second, the third night, for those of you that have been in the hospital for any length of time, you get tired of it. Ask Eric and Sadie. They spent a week there, 2 weeks with Lincoln, 5 weeks. Okay, after about the third day, you're tired of it. Am I right, Eric? It's not comfortable. There's people always coming in your room. You know you're getting help, right? And you have to get that help. But there's a part of you that wants to go home. The only people that enjoy hospitals and enjoy being there are who? The workers. They're serving. They're not taking. It's the nurses who get up every morning. They're excited to go to work. They can't wait to go to the hospital. It's the doctors. They want to go. They want to help somebody. It's exciting work because people come in sick. They go out well. They're excited to go to work. But when you're sick, you just want to get fixed, right? You just want to get through this and then get me out of here. I want to go home. But then Go to school and become the nurse and serve, I say. Come to church for that healing. Come to those people. But then turn it around and serve other people. It's not an end in itself. There is no relief in sleeping out and living in a hospital. It's a cold, sick place where sick people are. Let God heal you. And then work at the hospital. It's tough work. It's tough work. But reach other people. It's not an end in itself. The interesting thing is, do you know where hospitals started? Christians, Catholics started many of the first hospitals. The Romans and those didn't have civilian hospitals. They had army hospitals. They took care of their army. They took care of those who were in the forces. But they weren't called. Their religion didn't call them to help the sick and the needy. It's Christians who, after Christ was here on earth, reaching out to people around him, healing the sick, healing the lost, healing those who had hurts. It's after his return to heaven that then the Christians took up that call to help the sick, to minister to those who are in need. It's the Christians that started the hospitals. First Peter 4, and I read verse 10 earlier. And now I'm going to read the verse before that. Verse 9 says, use hospitality one to another without grudging. And then verse 10 that I read earlier, as every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same one to another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. Use hospitality one to another without grudging. Don't complain. And that's pretty easy to do. I'm right there with you. It just never suits. I'll just admit, it just never suits. You know, when a chorus comes through, it's always a busy week. It never really suits to have four youth or six youth come to your place overnight and you feed them, and then the next morning, right, you have to haul them to church so they can go on. It never suits when somebody shows up at church and they don't have a place to go for lunch. It always comes on the weeks where you've had a tough week, right? Do we grumble? Use hospitality one to another without grumbling, without grudging. Well, maybe you're saying, well, great. Now we have to have people over because we had this message about hospitality, right? And I want to assure you there's a difference in hospitality. Hospitality may include having people to your home, but it's a way of life. And we'll look at two different things. One is entertaining, and we talked about having entertaining people at our home. Oh, we enjoy entertaining people. But we don't often say, well, we enjoy being hospitable to people. And I think there's a difference. And allow me to maybe break those two down into what mentally goes through our mind as we prepare. You see, when I prepare to entertain at my home, everything needs to be perfect. And so if we're in the middle of a project like we are right now where our walls are bare because we're doing a remodel job, right? And so, you know, we have paint samples slopped on the wall right now. There's no way we could have you here to entertain at our house right now. But see, when I get ready to entertain, everything needs to be perfect. Everything needs to be cleaned up. The windows need to be washed. No dust, right? And so I haven't done my spring cleaning, and so I can't have you over. But everything needs to be perfect. I need to prepare this grand meal, 7-course, right? And the food needs to be perfect. And then, you see, I choose who I want to have over. And so I will have you, and you, and you over. And I invite you to come to my house, and I will entertain you with my work, with our house, and what the Lord has blessed us with. And that's the attitude we have. And so when people come in, we meet them at the door and we say, come on in and see what we have done. We have cleaned the house. We have cooked. Come, let's be entertained together. And that's the attitude that we have. And that, my friends, is work. And there's a lot of pressure on us because if something doesn't go right, if the food isn't perfect or something goes amiss, the night was a failure. The day was a failure. You see, the difference between that and hospitality is hospitality is being ready and willing to serve when the opportunity arises. And so I don't necessarily choose exactly who I'm going to have over, but there's a need. Somebody needs a meal, or somebody needs a bed, or I see someone in church that looks down and I say, come on over. I don't know what we're going to have, but I'll put some coffee on. We'll figure something out, right? And it's when they come to your home that you open the door and you say, come in, friend. Just sit a while. Let's talk. And you communicate. Your spirit communicates. Your heart communicates. There's still food, probably, if we're Mennonites, right? And it's probably good food, too. But that's not the focus. Okay, the focus is not on the presentation. If you remember the good nights that you've had at a fellow church person's house or home or an evening, often it's the nights where Sunday night somebody calls up and just says, hey, come over, we're going to have a campfire, you know, just come over and join us and, you know, if you have, oh, can we bring some hot dogs, can we bring some chips? And those are often the nights that stick out in my mind, right? But as the host, I would not want to do that to you because I have not prepared. But as the guest, I enjoy that, right? So, and I come expecting nothing. I come expecting just having a good time around the campfire or whatever it may be. But you see, our hearts connect then. It's not me presenting what I have. And so there's a difference. Entertaining versus hospitality. The one is stressful. The other one, I think, with some practice, can be a blessing that both sides can enjoy. I'm going to break both of these down with some practical points for us. Serving others, and I have three different places that you can place yourself at as we go through these. So, first is at your home, okay? Serving others at your home. And some of these I touched lightly on, but first one is relationship versus relish, I said. So what I just got done saying, and I'll just repeat it, relationship versus relish. Don't make it the far-out food. Focus on the relationship with a little bit of food, okay? Make the purpose of your guests or having people over relating, connecting, heart to heart, being open to one another. Second thing, function versus fashion. So again, function. Have some food, okay? It doesn't have to be a 7-course meal, but function versus fashion. And if I can say this, don't make excuses for your home or for the food. When somebody says, I really enjoyed this pie. Oh, yeah, got kind of runny. I'm so sorry. Just accept it. It's okay. Be gracious and say, well, thank you. Because as a guest, it feels good to compliment, and it feels good to have that compliment be received. Oh, I'm so sorry. I didn't get my house clean today. Well, most people probably aren't going to notice it, okay? They're just enjoying being at your place. Just be okay with it. There's no reason to make any excuses. If you come to our house right now, it's torn up. There's boxes stacked here and there, and we had some of you over, and this is who we are. If you don't like it, why, be glad you can go home. This is how we're living right now. The third one, inquire versus entertain. And so the purpose of having people there is to learn to know them, right? And so rather than entertaining them and having to do a bunch of great things, okay, just inquire. What's going on in your life? What did you guys do this week? How's school going for your children? How's work going? You can fill up a night, a day right there by just asking your guests what's going on in their life. You know, there's one meal that I had at Paul Miller's house as a family, a Sunday meal. I have no idea what we had to eat. I don't remember. Paul was a good cook. I'm sure the food was good. I don't remember the food, but you know what I remember? At the end of the meal, Paul said, okay, I would like to dismiss the children, but before they're dismissed, in a little bit here, we're going to go around the table, and I want each of you to tell me what you've been doing this summer. And so we did. It was, you know, we weren't doing anything grand and glorious, but we told him what we were doing as a family and the next family. And then Paul would ask questions, right? I don't remember the food. I remember that. Didn't take a lot of effort, but Paul showed interest in us as his guests. There was a care there. He wanted to know what we're doing, what's going on in life. What about at church? Serving others at church. Follow up on messages and testimonies. And so I'm going to say this for the pastors here that are at church. You know, my fellow pastors spend a lot of time preparing a message. They spend hours. And I think sometimes they would appreciate, it doesn't have, you don't have to remember everything they said. But sometimes at the end of that Sunday morning, sometimes it's nice to hear just one thing that stuck out to you. Whether it's in testimony time or afterwards when you bump into them at the back of the church and say, you know what, something you said really resonated with me, or I was challenged, or that was truth. And I've received that from some of you, and that makes the hours in preparation worth it. When you remember that, when you figure out that, hey, at least one person got something, or a text the next week saying, you know what, I'm still thinking about that, and I appreciate what you shared. Testimonies. When people share testimonies, make a point of listening, and if you don't think about going to them after church and encouraging them or praying for them, or just text away, phone call away. Hey, brother, appreciated what you shared Sunday morning. I'm praying for you today. That's caring. That's reaching out. It's being hospitable. Volunteer for opportunities. And so when you see a need in church, you see somebody with a young family with children, and maybe mom's got blue circles around her eyes, right? Take that as opportunity to serve, to give. Maybe take in a meal, encourage them. Somebody's on the food committee and they've been sick or aren't feeling the best, or maybe they've been busy, they had a funeral the week before. Offer to take their place and say, hey, Sunday night pastor appreciation, we can help serve. Is there something? Can we take your place on the food committee? It's unheard of, right? But why? Why would we not reach out to one another and serve? Surround the visitors. You know, it feels really good when you're a visitor at church when people come and talk to you, and multiple people. And I don't know how you find, like, some people are really easy to talk to, and then there's some people that it's really hard to, if they don't give, if there's not back and forth, it's hard to visit, okay? And so it helps when there's a group of us around, right? And so there's several men. It's not just one person. So gang up on the visitor and talk. And it feels good to me when I'm a visitor, when there's several people there talking, and pretty soon they're not even just talking to me, but like I'm part of this church conversation, and I'm hearing what they're talking about. And it's interesting to me, right? But it doesn't feel good when I'm over here looking around and everybody else is doing their own little talking. I don't fit into any of these groups. I don't know who to go to. And so when we have visitors as a church, let's gang up on them, okay? After church, just let's all move over. Move on to them. Just communicate wherever they are. The other thing is teach your children when they're young to do this. And so when Sunday school's dismissed and there's somebody about your child's age, have your child go up and invite them to go to Sunday school with them. It's pretty simple to do, but when a child does that at a young age, it's developed. And when they're youth age, they're not going to get up and march to youth class. They're going to do the same thing when there's a visitor. They're going to say, hey, youth class is up here. You want to go with me? As adults, we can do that. Invite people to go to class with us. Even if they are Sandy Ridgers who have moved out of the area and are coming back to visit, make a point to go invite them to class. Go to class with me, brother. We're back here in the entrance like we used to be, remember? Brian's our teacher. Come join us. It'll be good. Make a point to invite them to class. Explain what is happening. And so if you're not Mennonite, you don't know what's going on, right? And so everybody, all the Mennonites, you know that as you start sensing me finishing up this message, you're preparing for one thing. He's either going to say, let's kneel for prayer, or let's bow our heads or stand for prayer. You've been here 20, 30, 40 years, right? But if you're not a Mennonite, you don't know that. And so he's sitting there, you know, thinking, and all of a sudden, the pastor finishes up, and he said, let's kneel for prayer. And it's what I call the wheel and kneel, you know, we all, and we pray. But if you're not used to this, you're like, where's everybody going? And here I am sitting by myself. And the reason I say that is because when I was in Alabama, that church we visited was a Holderman church. And I thought, well, they're Mennonites just like us, right? And so we were sitting three quarters of the way up, and these people are in, they're kind of, you know, they look Mennonite-ish. And I thought, well, man, on the let's wheel and kneel, I'm going to whip around and get a look at these people. And so they said, let's kneel for prayer. And I whirled around, and there they just kneel forward. And so as I turned around, I had a whole bench full of people. So I kind of, that's why I'm saying, be gracious to people. And when people are sitting close to you who don't know what's going on, just poke them and say, now at the end of the message, he's probably going to say, let's kneel for prayer. You don't have to kneel. Feel free to bow your head. If you can't kneel, that's fine. Give them a heads up. When visitors are here for communion, tell them. Now he's going to invite everybody to stand, right? And there's going to be a prayer, and he's going to read a scripture, and then he will dismiss those who are not partaking in communion. Feel free to sit down at that time. There'll be a place for this. But otherwise, they stand up hesitantly because they're not sure, are we joining in now or are not, right? Or explain to somebody that we're going to wash feet, okay? We're going to go to the back. We're going to wash feet. We'll come forward again, you know, we'll come back in. But it just helps. It's communicating, caring for that person who's here. They feel like they mean something to you because you took the time to explain what is happening. Serving others everywhere, okay? So this is not just at home, not just at church. It's a way of life. Serving others everywhere. Say hello. Pretty simple. I was talking with somebody last week. We're at a funeral in Iowa, and I was talking with this man. And him and I have a mutual friend that I go to church with. This person is here, okay? And we were having this discussion. He's new to Bald Eagle Camp. And he said, you know, I'm out of fish out of water. He said, I'm trying to figure out how to relate to these people. He said, everything is different. He said, I've lost my identity. I don't have a job. He said, I used to do, you know, kind of construction type of thing. He said, now we're just talking about chiefs. We're just talking about the problems that these boys have. And he said, sometimes, he said, I don't even want to reach out and learn to know these people because it's tough. And he said, I don't feel like initiating the response. And I said, well, I said, I can be the same way, okay? It's just hard for me sometimes to make that first move and say, well, hi, you know, who are you? Make that first initial move. And I said, I have a brother here in church that's really good at that. And I said his name, and he said, you know what? I was thinking of the same person. He said, that person, it just comes natural for him. He'll just say, hey, what's going on, all right? Hi, how are you doing? Initiate the first hello. He and I were both thinking of the same person. It stands out when we're those type of people. We're welcoming. We're the first one to say hi. We're the first one to initiate it. People remember that. Be the first to say hello. Whether you're shopping, at a conference, ministers' meetings, whatever it may be, I found that very intimidating. I knew very few people at the ministers' meetings. And Glendora and I, the first year we went, I said, well, we can either just go out the back door and go to our hotel, or we can be the people. And don't get me wrong, there were plenty of people that reached out to us, too. I was blessed by that. And so now as I go back, I'm like, well, okay, even though I don't know a lot of people, now it's my turn, right? I need to reach out to others. So find those opportunities wherever you are. Reach out to people. Be the first one to do it. Acts of service. When you're at a store and somebody has their hands full, say, hey, I'll get that door for you. I'll help you carry that out to your car. Even if you don't know them, it's okay. Let them wonder. Oh, this person's different. Just tell them hi. No, no problem. I'll gladly carry that out for you. You know, just having common courtesies anymore just stands out. People don't do that. People don't do that. Invite others to participate. So if you're involved with something, maybe you're on a family vacation and there's, you know, your children are playing a game or whatever it may be, if there are people standing around the outskirts of whatever's going on, invite them in to whatever is going on. Say, hey, join us. Or your child's welcome to do that. Or your child's welcome to play with our child. Or as youth, you have a volleyball game going, okay? It's 5-on-6, right? And somebody new walks into the gym. You don't have to finish your game. Say, hey, so-and-so, could come join us. We have room for you on our court. Come join us. When you're at the sewing and somebody walks in, a visitor, or it may be a church lady, say, hey, why don't you come join us? We've got room here at our quilt. Or join us in what we're doing. Reach out to people. Invite them into your activity, whatever you're doing. I've heard it said that an organization must be strong within itself to be effective. And I say, a church must be strong within itself to be effective. You see, if we're going to be effective to others around us, we have to be effective here first. Because if we can't reach one another who we're responsible for, it's going to be really hard for us to reach out to other people that are around us. In some ways, I feel like I'm preaching to the choir here, because we sensed a warmth in this church 10 years ago when we came. We sensed a welcome, okay? I enjoy bringing visitors to our church because I know you folks do well at reaching out to them. So when I preach this message, may it be an encouragement to you. I'm not saying that we don't do any of these things. I think we've done well, but I encourage you to continue to grow. Continue reaching out to people who come here, who you come in contact with day to day, and bless them with hospitality. Let's bow our heads for prayer. Father in heaven, we thank you for this day. Lord, thank you for the grace that you've given to each of us. Lord, thank you for sending your son to die on the cross. Lord, thank you for just reaching out to us in that way. And Lord, it's because of that that we are now, that we even have something to offer others. Lord, help us to be a church that serves, that looks for ways to reach out and to serve others around us in the community, here in church itself. And Lord, I pray that you would be glorified through our lives and the way that we live them. We ask this in Christ's name. Amen.